And welcome you to the third hour of our 4th of July and 250th birthday edition of Animal World. We're here every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here in Alternative Talk, AM 1150. You can tune us in on the radio dial. You can tune us in on the internet via streaming audio. That means you can share us. Family and friends around the country, around the world, if they've got internet access, and the best way to the fastest way to pick up the stream, go directly to the 1150kknw.com website, click on listen upper left, and then listen online. You'll be all set up to stream the show. And of course, you can find us on Facebook these days. Go to Facebook, search Martha Norwalk's Animal World. If you're feeding anything made by Pedigree, there is a Pedigree recall up there. And yuck, 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 why are you feeding bottom of the barrel stuff anyway? You shouldn't be doing that. But if you are, there are some recalls, so check it out. Golly, it is the first Sunday of the month, which means Shelter, Rescue, Sanctuary, and anything that helps our animal friends Sunday. And speaking of that, just doing some of the biggest work I know would be Merritt and Beth Clifton from animals247.org. And I have to just share with you, and I have no idea what Henry the Rooster and his lady Arabella were up to, but I can tell you that Teddy the dog pretty much slept through the love train. You know, he's here, you know, and he was with us, but, you know, he's not much of a dancer.
He was doing it in his head.
He was dancing. Oh, see, yeah, you can dance in your head. You can dance in your head. You can dance in your bed. You can dance in your chair. You can dance anywhere from the back of the couch, even, because that's where he is. Anyway, good morning, you two. Welcome back to Animal World. How's everything over on Whidbey Island? Did you guys blow up yesterday or what?
Well, there was a blow up, but that was last week.
Didn't you have power outages and stuff all over the place, didn't you?
Oh, we had a couple of yokels about 3 miles from here as the crow flies. They had 700 pounds of explosives in their trailer and managed to blow up their place and the two neighboring places.
That's right. That's right. I knew I heard of something that was big up there.
Oh, the dogs got out all safe and sound, though.
Yeah, I remember. Yeah, boy. But How, what is the firework situation where you are? Do you guys get a lot of stuff going off over there?
This year.
Not so much this year. It's been a lot worse in past years. We've had
Really?
bottle rockets landing on our lawn, but we didn't
Yeah.
have any this year.
Because, oh boy, I'll tell you what, I have never experienced anything like yesterday here. And last night was absolutely over the top. I would have sworn if I didn't know better, I thought it was the middle of a war zone. Like, I'm in the middle of Kiev in Ukraine and Russia's dropping bombs. I mean, that's how I've never heard anything so loud and so big. I don't even know what they're blowing off that could be that loud.
If you can judge by how much fireworks, how the economy's doing great.
Well, I had hoped, since I mean, everything's more expensive for me. I'm not spending much money. I was hoping that people didn't have as much money to spend this year, but
Priorities.
that didn't turn out to be the case. It was way worse this year than any year. And so I'm kind of chalking it up to, well, maybe it is because it's the 250th birthday, and so people did spend more or do more. But I'm hoping that this isn't the way of the future. I don't know. I know that they have developed soundless fireworks in Italy, and I don't know why we haven't jumped on that over here. But I had to go out to see to make sure that we weren't burning up, and because it sounded like the stuff was going off in my yard, and that I was on the launching pad for the biggest fireworks on the planet. I mean, it was so loud. I mean, and the house shook, the ground shook, and I could see it's lighting up the sky, but I can't see why or what's going, because of all the trees and stuff. But it sounded like they were in the forest, which is scary. And there's bear habitat over there. I don't think they're not hibernating anymore, thank goodness, because the state has built bear hibernating houses over, in the state land over there. Thank goodness they're not hibernating right now. But I just couldn't imagine what an experience it had to be for the wildlife. Because it was just over the top, and I don't think my brain's unscrambled from all of that. So anyway, I'm glad it wasn't so bad for you guys.
For wildlife, it's usually like thunder and lightning, and they don't like it, but
Yeah.
it doesn't mean anything else to them other than thunder and lightning. And it occurs at the same time
We
of year that we get thunder.
looked
That's
out
true.
the window and we saw a couple of deer grazing like nothing was going on, and there were fireworks going off, and
Wow. All
no,
right.
they looked calm and nothing's going to get in the way of them eating, I guess.
Yeah, I think it's mostly roosting birds roost at night and they're
Right.
awakened and they panic. And dogs and cats with their very sensitive hearing, who are used to being in a relatively controlled human environment, they're protected from thunder and lightning.
Teddy doesn't like it. All I saw was his nose under the covers. Nose was sticking out.
All right. Well, don't you guys fill us in on what is animals24-7.org?
Well, we report the news of the animal-human interface involving public health, public safety,
Zoonotic disease,
diet, animal
shelter,
care and control, all those things.
evildoers in the rescue world.
Yeah, we've been all over the Shannon Miranda case down in California that everybody's heard about.
Well, and I was going to ask you about some of the stuff that you do this. Well, animals24-7.org, of course, is your website, but there's also a newsletter that we can sign up to get from you, and that's where you kind of publish what you write. You
Right.
send out in
We
the
send out.
newsletters and so forth. I've had so much stuff going on. I haven't had a lot of time to keep up, but I noticed there, and I know I opened it and read it, and I can't remember now what I read, but there was something about bad trainers, that was in my department this week around.
Right.
That's our most
Tagged you.
recent feature story posted 2 days ago. And what's unusual, there's always bad trainers out there, but historically, they have very, very rarely gotten jail or prison time, no matter what they've done. They tend to get a suspended probationary sentence. In this case, a guy by the name of Jason Thomas Jones got from 14 to 19 years, which is by far the longest sentence in a trainer case that we're aware of. And I've been tracking this since 1982.
Right.
Because he got probation on 281 counts, first of all, which is ridiculous.
The judge gave him a present, and he couldn't behave himself.
And then he violated probation repeatedly, including flunking or not even taking a couple of drug tests. So finally, the judge said, enough of this, and gave him from 14 to 19 years.
So what were those counts? What is it that this trainer was doing that was so bad?
Cruelty, neglect, defrauding clients. I think that was the most
usual
counts.
Yeah.
Defrauding clients, claiming to have done stuff that he didn't actually do.
Okay.
By way of training the dogs. He had two, a current girlfriend and a former girlfriend who were also convicted of the same things, but they've met their probationary term, so they're not doing additional jail time.
Well, and you said you've been following this stuff since the early 1980s,
right?
And this is the first time there's been this kind of a sentence.
It's not the first time, but it's by far the heaviest sentence. The heaviest previous sentence in a trainer case that we're aware of was a guy named Bradley Lane Croft in Texas, who was running a supposed training academy for training service dogs for war veterans and getting paid by the Defense Department. He was also simultaneously supposedly training pit bulls for police work for the Animal Farm Foundation. And it took a long time, but they finally got him for big time fraud, and he's doing 10 years.
And that was a federal case.
So he's a little more than half the amount of time this Jason Thomas Jones is doing. That, as Beth just pointed out, that was a federal case. And he was sentenced primarily for fraud. He wasn't sentenced for cruelty.
Yeah. You know, a lot of people, obviously, you are a very trustworthy, you've established a you've established
a good reputation.
Exactly. Thank you. Sorry, a very good reputation. But I just don't understand these people. Once they're caught, they just pop up. I found somebody, the same person that was arrested recently, has now popped up on Facebook with a variation of her name.
Well, so they just keep doing what they're doing and change the minor details.
Another one we just wrote about, Tiffany Dawn Jourdain, has operated two different dog training operations in North Carolina, one in Florida, and one that just folded in Michigan. So she's been active in four states. She's gotten in trouble in all four states, not legal trouble in all four states, but trouble with clients in all four states. And she may be reopening again in another state if she doesn't get sent to jail. She hasn't yet been sentenced.
Wow.
She and three of the women who worked with her have now been convicted of having starved to death a couple of the dogs that were boarded with them. How do you do that? I just don't get it.
This is because it works for them. People are giving them money. And if it works, they're going to keep doing it.
They're
making money from it, and they pop up somewhere else, and they make more money.
And with these probationary sentences, they just go to a different jurisdiction. The next time they get caught, the probation doesn't catch up with them. They're out in a different state. So,
and there's no regulation. There is no regulation. Anybody can be a dog trainer. I could just say I'm a dog trainer. I couldn't be a dog trainer.
Yeah, and that opens up a whole can of worms for me. Because obviously there's a lot, it sounds like there's fraud and deceit and cruelty and all that stuff going on in most everything. But it obviously going on in the dog training and world and so forth. But then on the other hand, I know that if certification, some of the certification that they would like for dog trainers these days would put me out of business. Now I'm certainly that I most likely would be grandfathered in, Because I've been doing this for so long. But you know, I've been doing what I'm doing for decades and decades and decades. And there may be a handful or less of other people around here that have my level of experience and expertise. And those that I'm thinking about are the ones that I started doing all this with when we were teenagers, you know, and there's just, and so degrees or certification in certain things doesn't necessarily indicate everything that you need to know, but there's got to be a way for people to, you know, kind of be able to check trainers out and so forth and
Are you
know
boarding
and
dogs, Martha? I don't think you're boarding dogs. Are you boarding dogs?
no. Now I did, you know, years ago, I would allow people, you know, when I had a much bigger place and room to do it, I would allow my clients to leave their dogs with me when they, you know, on a
Right.
vacation or something, but their dogs would move into my house and live with me so I could teach them how to live with people and fix all their stuff while the people were gone. But I haven't done that for a few decades now.
Another thing that they're doing is it's sort of like, you know, bring us your dog. First of all, people are adopting dangerous dogs, and it puts them in a position now where they've got to find somebody that's willing to train a dog that's problematic, aggressive. And you know, everybody says, don't euthanize your dog for aggression. Don't take them to the shelter. Get them training. So if you don't do that, they're looked down upon that they didn't do the best for their dogs. And so these trainers of difficult dogs have cropped up all over the place.
Really,
They're
really.
not necessarily and probably not qualified to do it. And
Yeah.
we've written about some of them ourselves that wind up, you know, they specialize in training dangerous dogs and they'll take them and then they kill them and they bury them. Nobody knows what happened.
We've had a bunch of those cases, and the Shannon Miranda case is such a case because he held himself out to be a trainer
Yeah.
who was able to rehabilitate dangerous dogs. So what he did, he rehabilitated them with a shotgun, buried them in his backyard.
It was pretty horrific.
Wow. And see, and I know from my experience and all these decades, because this is my business. See, I know those dangerous dogs and then the ones that do the worst things. The vast majority of those dogs are rehabilitatable. We can turn them around. But it requires very specifically and sometimes gifted, if not, you know, that have the experience and know how to go about it, that trainers. But there's only one board and train program in the entire country that I personally recommend.
But at the end of the day, don't they have to go back to their owner?
Well, but we'll see. But with the right training program, the dog is reprogrammed for a lot, and with lots of not because a lot of what happens with board and train, the dog will work for the person who trained it, but then isn't good if for anybody else.
Yeah, there
The
has to be
people I'm
something.
talking about at the academy, they have a way of generalizing it so the dog works for all kinds of people and so forth before the dog is integrated. And then there's a program of integrating it back into the home environment. And then, because they're the best, the program is guaranteed for life. So doesn't matter how long, you can always go back anyway. And I could tell you stories, turn your hair green, about dogs that we've worked with and turned around and that sort of thing. But that's not what's going on everywhere around the country. And that's how, you know, if me that this is my business and I know there's only one in the country that I recommend. Now, that doesn't mean that there aren't others, but that's the one that I know I can trust. But anyway, it's a tough situation.
My understanding, which isn't very much of dog training, is that what a trainer can do, let's say a dog behaves himself with the trainer, isn't that basically just a postage stamp, a time stamp of in that moment the dog didn't do something? But that doesn't mean he's not going to do it down the road.
Well, yeah, that would be a whole nother, you know, certainly that could be an issue. But if someone knows what they're doing, they're not just training the dog. And they are using training, but also behavior modification. And seeing when I work with a dog and train a dog, I don't just control the problem. I do a two-step procedure. So, like if we've got aggression or fear towards or whatever, is stop the problem. But then step two is change the way the dog feels about what's going on. Because if you don't change the way the dog feels about it, then something like what you're talking about, another situation, it's going to pop up its ugly head. But at the same time, you also have to be able to recognize hormonal imbalances, because that can be a big, huge part of the problem. We also now have Dr. Nels and understand neuroenergetic balancing and the fact that nervous systems can get stuck in the fight-flight mechanism because of trauma and experience. And so there's so much involved in really, truly rehabbing these dogs. Sometimes it isn't worth it, though, especially with, reporting on some of the really huge, cane corsos and, the breeds. There are some breeds that I will not work with anymore, because I'm physically not strong enough and big enough to cover any bases that could come up if need be. And I'm sorry to have to say that, but it's true. And I know, since I've been connected with you guys and working with you guys and learned so much about the numbers and how many dog attacks there are and killing of humans and the breeds responsible and so forth. There's no getting around the truth of what's going on there. And there are some breed-specific issues that doesn't usually boil down to it's the dog themselves. It's usually stupid humans and irresponsible humans and all that sort of thing, that set up the situations for failure. But there aren't any easy answers with any of that stuff, so.
With regard to the Miranda's rescue issue, and I know Merritt can probably describe it better. One of the things that this guy, Shannon Miranda, was defending himself about is that he was getting dogs, aggressive dogs, and a lot of them, and people were dumping them on him. He was getting money for it, of course,
A lot of money.
that he was getting them drugged on trazodone. So they were coming out of shelters and rescues being drugged because of their aggression. And then they expect Shannon Miranda to fix all the problems. He's getting dogs, literally. I mean, LA shelters are doing the same thing. Dogs that spend too much time in the kennel, they get kennel crazy. They're drugging them with trazodone, which I can tell you is a very strong drug for anxiety and depression. And basically, it's making them zombie dogs. For
It
what?
certainly can.
Why do that to these animals? They don't deserve that.
Well, and there are so many unwanted dogs with aggression type issues, usually all based in fear, but not always. No place for them to go or people to work with them. And so it's a ripe situation for taking advantage of, and I'll take those dogs, just pay me. And if I Now, my memory isn't as great as it used to be and all that sort of thing, but I think there was a guy here in this state doing the same thing.
There was.
Wasn't there a number of years ago? And we all thought he was wonderful. And I was getting ready to go check him out and have him on the show. And then he got busted or something. But
He was up on the Olympic Peninsula near
yes.
Forks, the zombie
Yes.
capital of the world.
There you go.
Got busted big time. I don't remember the name off the top of my head, but I do remember he called me up one time, and it took about 3 seconds before I realized this guy is really full of it. They get in pit bulls and wolf hybrids and just all kinds of big dogs, and claiming that none of his dogs ever got in trouble afterward. Well, there's a reason why they never got in trouble afterward. They were dead.
Well, boy. Well, that's a whole big can of worms. Someday we'll get into more details here, because unfortunately we're out of time. I've got to take care of advertisers here and get on to our last interview. But it's so good to connect with you guys. And please, everybody, go to animals24-7.org. Sign up for the newsletter. You will then be informed about all these things going on. And gosh, Eileen was able to give us a contact for the Venezuela after the earthquake, and animal work down there. But if you stay in touch with animals24-7.org, folks, you'll know what's going on in the animal world. And anyway, thank you guys so much for a little time that we did have, and look forward to our next conversation.
Thank you,
Thank
Martha.
you,
All
Martha.
righty, God bless. Bye bye.
Thank you.
All righty, David, let's catch up on advertisers before we get to Ananda. So everybody stay right where you are. Animal World continues right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
Give your dog, cat, or ferret the gift of great health naturally. Make NuPro all-natural supplements an essential part of your pet's diet. NuPro makes an awesome gravy, sure to please. This gravy provides fresh nutrients for a beautiful, silky skin and coat, strong immune system, and healthy digestion, among other wonderful benefits. NuPro's joint support formula is perfect for working dogs, large breeds, and especially seniors. So go with NuPro. Visit online at NuProSupplements.com for more information.
Hi, this is Martha Norwalk, host of Animal World, and I've got a question for you. Do you or anyone you know own a business, offer a service, or a product that does something good for animals, humans, or this planet? If the answer is yes, then I'd like to invite you to become a member of the Animal World family of advertisers. Lately, people are telling me they think radio advertising is exorbitantly expensive. Well, that can be true, but not on Animal World. Did you know that for as little as $45 a week, you can have two professionally written and produced commercials at no cost to you running on the show? You also get a link to your website on the homepage of the Animal World website and two live interviews on the show. Frankly, you can't afford not to do this. So if you'd like to join our great Animal World family of advertisers, or if you need more information, go to www.marthanorwalk.com to send me an email or call me at 360-217-7258. That's 360-217-7258. Come on, give me a call and join the family. We'd love to have you.
Real people, real life, real radio. Alternative Talk, 1150.
Hey, y'all, I'm Martha Norwalk, and gosh, we are winding down this week's edition of Animal World. We're here till noon today and every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. We heard from our new pro supplements, NUP as in Peter, RO supplements.com. Great supplements for dogs, cats, and ferrets. You can learn all about them at the website, newprosupplements.com. You can purchase there, look for the dog supplements in your local pet store, or they're available on Amazon, and the price is the same. And if you do something wonderful for humans, animals, or the planet we live on, come join our Animal World family of advertisers. We'd love to have you. Shoot us an email if you're interested, animalworldlive@hotmail.com. All righty then. We are going to switch boats in midstream here, and we're going to leave the animal world for the human animal world. And I could just do a... We just rewound back to the first Sunday of last month where we ended the show, because we're going to pick up where we left off, because I get to welcome back. I'm so delighted, from the Ananda Institute of Living Yoga, Kevin Hart is back with us. Good morning, Kevin.
Good morning.
Hey, how are you doing?
Doing great. How are you?
Well, my brain's still a little fried from 4th of July last night. Was Uh-oh. Horrendously loud out here where I am, and I still think I was in a war zone last night and just didn't know it. It was incredibly loud.
Wow.
Quite concerned about the wildlife and all of that going on. It literally sounded like someone was dropping bombs on us. It was so incredible. But anyway, hopefully things were calmer where you were and with your little dachshund friends yesterday.
You know, usually our neighborhood is loud and there's a bunch of, loud fireworks, but for some reason the three people that live in our in our neighborhood that like to do that were all gone. So it was loud, but not like you said. It was not a war zone. It was just, normal 4th of July. So we were very fortunate, but we did have to give one of our little guys a little bit of a natural doggy calmer downer thing.
Yeah. Oh, that's a good thing you weren't out here. I mean, I have never experienced in my entire life what it was like last night.
Wow.
I'm still kind of in shock. Anyway, but so I rewound us back to last month because we got the pleasure of talking to you last month, and you got us all excited about the big week that was coming up, Spiritual Renewal Week for Ananda down at Ananda Village in California. That was combination of the centennial celebration and all of that. And anyway, you got me and the listeners excited about that. And then you told us that you and your partner Jen, you were going to drive your camper down there and
And we,
so forth. So did you make it down to Ananda Village and Spiritual Renewal Week and all that stuff?
yes, we did. We took a nice couple days to drive down, so we didn't have to rush. We got to see some nice sights on the way, and then we made it down there, and it was just wonderful, just like we thought it was going to be.
Now, I just have to so I know a lot about Ananda Village. I mean, Ananda Village is where Ananda, it's the birthplace of Ananda and where Swami Kriyananda founded Ananda and the first location. And I've seen lots of photographs and descriptions and all that sort of stuff, but Kevin, I've never been there. So can you give me and our listeners, can you give us an idea what's Ananda Village like? What's it like to go down there and be there for that?
Well, it is quite amazing. And so there's two portions to Ananda Village, and one is called the original meditation retreat, and it's where Swami Kriyananda sort of first went after he got ousted from Self-Realization Fellowship, and he thought he was just going to become a solitary meditator. And so he had this place called the meditation retreat, which he lived at a house there, and it's just a beautiful place. And there was, I learned some of this story. I knew parts of it, but I learned more of this when I was there this week. A man named Dr. Chowdhury came and he said, "Oh no, you can't do this. You cannot retreat and be in solitary. You have to serve your guru's work." And Paramahansa Yogananda was his guru. So he said, "Okay." So he started to go into town and teach. And as he did that, people just automatically started to sort of follow him, and they just wanted to help him build something. So I'm not quite sure how this part of the story goes, but basically the original meditation retreat was not a place that they could build a larger community. So this piece of property came available a few miles away, and that is what we call Ananda Village. And it's, I think if I have the number right, it's 700 acres.
I was going to say the
And
place is huge. So it
yeah.
700 acres is about what we're talking about.
Yeah, 700 acres, and it's got all kinds of stuff there. I mean, you can imagine 700 acres, and there's all kinds of different buildings and places that you can go. And we did a lot of that on what was called Pilgrimage Day, where we got taken to some of the major spots. And so when it started out, they were living in teepees and campers, no electricity, totally, kind of like a hippie commune kind of a thing. And the story of the story is written in many books by many original founding members, but basically, this thing just slowly started to grow. And then right as soon as it started to grow, there was a huge fire that destroyed everything that they had built. And it's a famous fire in Ananda history. And so, of course, after that, they started to rebuild again. And, through all this, they became a very strong founding community. And, under the guidance of Paramahansa Yogananda through Swami Kriyananda, there was just a wonderful coming together and
Yeah, and if I'm
wanting
correct,
to.
that first time, because it is in California and right, and it's Southern California, but
Northern.
isn't it above Nevada City? Isn't that where the location
Yes,
is?
it is. It's kind of considered Nevada City, but it's Northern California, not Southern
Oh,
California.
it's northern. Okay, northern, not southern.
Yeah.
But it also, California is famous for all these big fires and stuff. And
Yes.
so you're very, a fire came and did burned everything that they
Yeah.
created. But then, if my memory is correct, You know, they rebuilt, everything came back better and stronger than ever and all of that sort of thing. And as I recall, I'm hearing the story of fires came again, but this time the power of the community was strong enough in prayer and oming and ritual that they were able to ward the fire off.
Yes, I think that's true. I'm not as familiar with that story, but I think I have heard something along similar lines.
So you can actually, so there's 700 acres, and then there's all kinds of stuff going on down there with retreats and things, and of course, there's a big new a temple similar to our Blue Lotus Temple up here now, right?
Yes, but much larger, and that temple was packed. It was packed with people. Yes, wall to wall.
How would you compare it to the size of our Blue Lotus Temple here on the Bothell Everett Highway? What's compare that to the new one in Ananda Village?
Well, I want to say at least double.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
And that was just packed.
I think the capacity was something like 916. I thought I saw on a plaque above the door.
Uh huh.
So it's good size. I mean, it's a large temple and. Even that we had, you know, events all week long and the speakers would get up there and, you know, they live there. So they're used to seeing it sometimes fairly full of people. But when they got up to speak, they were like, whoa, because it was just a sea of people.
Well, and there were people from all over the world, right?
Yes, all over the world. And specifically from Ananda communities all over the world. I mean, as well as many members and people that wanted to just, you know, be a part of this. There was also many, many center leaders from all over the world. There was a huge presentation one day, you know, from Europe and from India and from America. And there's so many Ananda communities. I don't know the exact number, but they're everywhere now. And Ananda is growing at a rate that I didn't really fathom until this meeting. And I feel like right now we're at like it kind of felt like a tipping point. Like a positive tipping point where all of a sudden something's happened. It's gotten the momentum and the magnetism to now become something even larger than it already is. So it just feels very expansive. The energy was very expansive of this whole week.
Well, so expanding a little more on what Ananda Village is like. The first thing, because this was technically Spiritual Renewal Week. But it's also, what, the 100th anniversary, too?
It's Swami Kriyananda's celebration of 100. He would be 100 years old now.
That's what, okay, his 100. And But the Spiritual Renewal Week, that happens every year. So for everyone listening, you know, if this strikes your heart, it's like, oh, I really want to go there. Well, do you have room for me? And because I want to go too. But anyway, if you want to go, you know, you can. This happens every year. You can go for the Spiritual Renewal Week. But I know, Kevin, there are places, there are retreats and places in Ananda Village that you can go and stay, and have a room or something. But you guys took your camper down. Is there a place? Were you able to like stay somewhere within Ananda Village in your camper, or how did that work?
Yes. So there's several ways that a person could travel to Ananda Village and be a part of it. And there's also several programs, by the way. One is, I know there's a 3-month Karma Yogi program where you can actually go there, live there, and work there. As a part of a Karma Yogi's one, a Karma Yogi is one who, karma means action. So it's a yogi who's in activity through working in different jobs at the village. And then I think there's a trade for your being able to stay there. I think there's some money involved, but mostly you trade for work. But more than just that, you get to be immersed in the teachings. And so if you're interested at all about Ananda Village, the best thing to do is check out their website and or call them and just have a conversation about what you're looking for. Because in addition to Ananda Village, as we talked about, and all the opportunities that are there, which I haven't even scratched the surface of, the meditation retreat that I mentioned initially, that also has that you can go there and go into seclusion there for yourself, just stay there and do it at that place, which I, as I said, is a few miles away from the actual village, still connected, but just separate pieces of property. And there's just so many ways that you can go there and experience what Ananda Village is.
Yeah, I know it's magical. I know what I, and what I am most, I think, intrigued by is that, you know, well, you don't know, but I love flowers. And I'm totally into flowers. And there's a part of the Ananda Village there that it might have been what you were talking about, where Swami lived. And then there's Moksha Mandir. But there's an area where they have planted, you know, incredible plantings, but gazillions of tulips. Yeah. I mean, I think there's thousands and thousands of tulips.
Yes.
So in the spring, the place looks spectacular. And of course, I've only seen pictures, but oh, how I would love to, you know, experience it in person. And I think there's, you know, there are lots of times there are events and stuff, so you can go down, you know, like, well, there's Spiritual Renewal Week in the summer, but there's also a mini kind of spiritual renewal, I think, more in the winter. But then in the spring, there's events too that you can go to. But so springtime is a really wonderful time to be there when all the springtime things like tulips are in bloom.
Mm-hmm.
Have you been down there when the flowers are in bloom?
No, but I do know a little bit about the tulip. It's kind of like how we have our tulip festival here. There's something that's similar there. And I think I remember hearing that this last spring, more people came through than ever to see the tulips because there's more tulips than ever. So as the tulip population grows, so do the people that want to come see them.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Folks, if you've never seen photographs and so forth, which I'm certainly you could find on Facebook or probably the website and stuff. But, oh, it is just spectacularly gorgeous. And and of course, the energy would be just out of this world. And do you feel the energy, the difference when you get to Ananda Village? Does the energy of the place feel different to you?
Well, that's what I wanted to talk about a little bit. You were starting to touch on some of these things that kind of what I experienced more prominently than anything else at this week, which was, I mean, it was so rich and so deep that it will probably take me many months to process what actually happened there. But where you're talking about is what's called the Crystal Hermitage.
Yes, and that's it. Okay, thank you.
Yeah, this is Swami's later house. So the house that I talked about that he lived in and was trying to seclude in, that's at the meditation retreat. But the house later after Ananda was established, he lived and did a lot of his work in the Crystal Hermitage. And you can go through it now. And there's the original Crystal Hermitage, which was like, it's like a dome. It's a very beautiful dome. And it looks out over this gorgeous valley and the Yuba River. And then there's his workplace, his office that's in that same place. And then there's his bedroom and then his meditation room. And all those have been sort of they're made available to you as a person who wants to see it. So you can go in there and experience where Swami lived, where Swami worked, where he meditated. And then the Moksha Mandir was built. It's kind of hard to explain. It feels very sacred, and his actual body is laid to rest there.
Yeah.
So we felt, I mean, those of us who tune into Swami Kriyananda as a teacher, the way that he was, there's a certain sense you get just tuning into his teachings and reading his books and practicing his programs and all the things that he gave us. But when you experience Crystal Hermitage and the vibration of Swami Kriyananda, it is absolutely amazing. I think it's pulled more tears out of people than anywhere else. I mean, I've had so many people tell me, I went into this part of this place and tears just came streaming down my face. I could feel this presence of amazing peace that I've never felt before. And people can feel Swami Kriyananda's, I don't know, energy, spirit, whatever you call it. You can just feel it. Something happens to you there. And overwhelming was this, through all the speakers that spoke at the different events throughout the week, we really got the level of kindness that Swami gave to everyone. And his level of being able to tune into you as an individual was so amazing. And you could feel that kindness both in these places where you could go, like I just described, where you lived and worked, in the temple, in the other people, but mostly in the sharing. Because this is an event where people came together from all these different places. These are all the people that, a lot of them lived there when there was no electricity. They've been through 50 or more years of building the Ananda community. They've seen all the changes. They lived with the Swami when he was a young man, as he got older, as he passed, and then what Ananda's become now. And the way that they spoke specifically about him and what he was like, you could just get that he was one of the kindest souls. And so you could feel that kindness for yourself. And so I mentioned that to someone. I said, we're really feeling the kindness of Swami Kriyananda. And this person actually said that was his mission. And it struck me, what if this one man's mission was to simply show that level of kindness, and that it's possible that we could be that kind in the world as we go on and live our lives?
Yeah, it really, really, if we could all just go to Ananda Village, everybody on the planet, go there and be transformed and become the great, you know, the greatest spiritual beings in human form you can be, because boy, do we need some transforming to happen. And this sounds like a place to do it. Anyway, Kevin, we need to take care of advertisers before we run out of time here. So we're going to do that. And then we'll come back with Kevin and find out, is there more to talk about in Ananda Village, or something else we need to know about before we wrap up. So everybody stay right where you are. More with Kevin Hart from the Ananda Institute of Living Yoga straight ahead right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
Would you like to access portals of possibilities for transformation, consciousness, expansion, and new experiences of health and well-being? Ancient knowledge and new science tell us that everything manifests from vibratory frequencies. Jude Ponton can assist you in shifting frequencies for personal health, aligning and balancing your energy or the energy of your home, property, or workspace. Jude can work with you remotely, office, or on-site if you live in the Seattle area. Jude can also teach classes in the Acutonic Sound Healing System. Check out whispering-dragon.com. That's whispering-dragon.com for descriptions of services. Or call 206-706-2836. That's 206-706-2836. You can even email resonate@whispering-dragon.com for information or to schedule sessions.
Hi, this is Martha. Did you know that besides hosting Animal World, I'm also an animal behavior therapist and trainer with more than 40 years of professional experience? I work with you privately in your home or over the phone to help you understand your animal friends and resolve whatever behavior training or healing problems you've got going on. Most of my expertise is with cats and dogs, but I sometimes work with other types of animals as well. So whether it's puppies or kittens, adult dogs or cats, or elderly animal issues, I can help. Cats not using the litter box? Biting or scratching you or your furniture? Maybe they're fighting with each other or waking you up at night. I've got answers. Dogs barking too much, jumping or dragging you around the block on your walk? Does he have separation anxiety or chew up stuff he shouldn't? I've got answers. Whatever's going on with your animal friends, I will help you fix it. I am more than reasonably priced and often need to see you only once. I always do a free, no-obligation telephone evaluation, so give me a call and bug my voicemail if you need immediate attention. You'll find me at Martha's Canine, Feline, and All Creature Counseling at 360-217-7258. That's 360-217-7258, and I'd love to hear from you.
Do you ever feel overwhelmed by all that's happening in the world? Triggered by people around you? What's going on in your personal life? We're shifting energies. Looking for inspired guidance? Need to talk? Natasha Ventner, intuitive personal awareness coach and medium, can help by sharing insights, tips, and tools to support you through life's glitches and snags. Natasha helps you empower yourself. Visit Natasha's website, intuitiveclarifications.com, to discover how her unique skills and heartfelt, caring approach can help you. That's intuitiveclarifications.com.
Self-help, healing, spirituality, and more on Alternative Talk, 1150.
Hey, y'all, I'm Martha Norwalk, and we're winding down. Our 4th of July and 250th birthday celebration edition of Animal World. And we're talking with Kevin Hart from the Ananda Institute of Living Yoga. So, Kevin, anything going on that we need to know about?
As far as at Ananda?
Yeah. Any events coming up that we need to mention before we run out of time?
Oh, well, we always have something going on, just like at the village, how we talked about, there's always plenty of stuff to get involved with. We have a yoga teacher training coming up in September, and the Raja Yoga program is starting also. And Raja Yoga is the most popular course that Ananda offers. If you're interested in learning more about yoga, about meditation, about some of the deeper teachings of what that is and what it entails, and getting more involved in it, and maybe even developing a practice of your own, the Raja Yoga program is a great way to do that. And in fact, it's kind of amazing. Swami Kriyananda, as we've been talking about him a lot in this half hour that we've been together, one of the things that he developed was a work called The Art and Science of Raja Yoga, which is, it's kind of like a textbook, but it's not as technical as a textbook. It contains 14 steps. In fact, it used to be called 14 Steps to Higher Awareness. And each step contains elements on the philosophy of yoga and meditation, the yoga postures and what they're for, breathing, which you could call pranayama exercises, diet, health, even some food recipes and some ways of eating that are more healthy. And then meditation section. Each of all of those things is in each section of this work. And so there's 14 of them, and it sort of really expands on what yoga is and what meditation is in the view of Ananda. So if you're
interested, it's a huge book. And it's kind of like the textbook for the class, The Art and Science of Raja Yoga.
Go ahead, please.
Oh, I was just going to say it's a great place. It's a great place to begin, in that, and that's how I got started. Because I came to Ananda looking for Kriya Yoga, and you know you have to get educated before you can dive into that. So, and that's the beginning, is starting with The Art and Science of Raja Yoga, and I've taken it more than once, and it's a 3-month program. So no doubt we'll be talking more about it, you know, on the next couple of shows. But, you know, keep in mind it's going to start in September, everybody. So if you want to get started with a yogi and a meditation practice and that sort of thing, it's a great way to begin.
And I'll mention, too, that is absolutely true. It's a great way to begin. But for many of us, we still are studying that book. I mean, I've taken The Art and Science of Raja Yoga probably 6 times. I call myself a chronic retaker.
Wow, and you've taken it more than me. Wow.
Yeah. Well, I got involved in helping out with it as well. So I've been involved with it at many levels. But my point is, even if you're an advanced yoga practitioner and you feel like you want to expand your practice, but you're not sure how, dipping your toe into Raja Yoga is like dipping yourself into the infinite teaching of what yoga actually is. So yes, it's good for beginners, but it's good for any person who's interested in yoga, no matter how beginner or advanced you think you are. There's always something to learn. And the Swami had a special talent for tapping into something beyond his own intellect. And that's how all of his books came. And because we're talking about The Art and Science of Raja Yoga, specifically that book, because there's things in there where, as I said, probably been through the book 20 different times. Each time there's something brand new in there and something that I say, oh, that's what he meant. Only after 10 years of practicing it, then I start to say,
then you got it. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Or you just start to realize the tip of the iceberg of what the teaching actually is. So it's just so deep and also so accessible. When you open up your own self, say, what is in here for me to learn? All these beautiful teachings come out.
Wow. Well, that's great inspiration for anyone that might be thinking about doing this. And of course, we'll be talking about it more on the first Sundays, and it starts in September. We'll give you plenty of details. In the meantime, you can go to anandawashington.org and find out about all the events and classes coming up. Kevin, I could go on and on. We could talk for hours, and hopefully we'll talk again soon. But thank you so much for spending time with us today. And I'm so glad you had such a fabulous time down there. And appreciate you sharing all those experiences. Anyway, have a blessed afternoon. Thank you, Kevin.
Thank you, Martha. Appreciate you very much.
God bless. Bye-bye. All righty then, that wraps us up, and I guess we've covered all the bases, David, and all I have to say is that next week is the second Sunday of the month, and in keeping with that, it is our energy balancing show. Linda Rasmussen will be here, and we will be taking your phone calls, and she will work with you and your animal friends through you, so please mark your calendars, plan to call in. We need more of you to call in, because we need more practice working on animals through humans, and we can't do it without your help. You have to call us, so hope you'll be here. Plan to call in. We will also get to welcome Nathan back from the Philippines, and we get to hear all about the canoodling that went on down there in the Philippines. I'm really curious, David, because he's calling it the land of the gentle people. So I want to know that, okay? Philippines, is that where we go and where we want to meet gentle people? Well, it sounds like it. We'll hear about that next week. So anyway, David, thank you so much for keeping us on the air, and all of you for being here. Have a calm and cool and quiet week, I hope. And as always, I leave you with animals have feelings too. So treat your animal friends better than family. And please always be kind to, open your heart, and share your love with all living things, and I'll talk to you again next week.